behind the wheel, under the hood, and beyond with Car Stuff from HowStuffWorks.com.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to Car Stuff. I'm Scott Benjamin.
And I'm Ben Bullen.
Ben, I'm going to ask you a question today to start this whole thing.
All right.
You have a driveway?
I do have a driveway.
Is it a very long driveway?
It's pretty short as driveways go, honestly.
Okay. I have a relatively short driveway as well. And that's what makes today's topic kind of even more intriguing is that this race that we're going to talk about today happens on someone's driveway.
Okay. That is technically true, which is maybe the best kind of true, but only technically, because when we say driveway, most people are probably picturing, you know, the straight shot from the main road to someone's garage.
Exactly. Like if you were to race in my driveway, let's say
it's a maybe, short race.
It's maybe like 30 or 35 feet or something, and then you hit the garage. And then you've got 19 feet exactly to stop before you hit the inner walls of my house. Okay, so that's that makes it impossible to race on, especially in something like a Formula One car.
Right.
Any kind of, let's say anything outside of like a Razor scooter or something like that, right?
Sure, like a giant turtle.
Yeah, something like that, right? So this Goodwood Festival of Speed that we're going to talk about today is a hill climb competition that is it's a 1.16 mile course, you know, 9 turns. Up a driveway of the Goodwood House, which we'll talk about. I'm sure we'll get into all this. Mm-hmm. And it is actually a listener suggestion that leads us here because we have a listener from, where is he from? From England, from Cumbria, England. His name is John McGrady. And John wrote in a while ago, and I know we read his note on, I think it was in a Nuts and Bolts episode.
Yeah.
And he mentioned that, you know, maybe we were just a little bit too what he called U.S.-centric with some of our topic selections, and he understood why, because that's where we are. We're in Atlanta, Georgia, and so we tend to focus on things here in the United States, but there's a lot of other great racing outside the United States, and we have touched on a lot of that in the past, people and places and events and things like that. But he said that, you know, maybe we should focus on this Goodwood Festival for one of our episodes because it's really a fantastic more than a weekend-long event.
Yeah, and how right he was, because we are doing this podcast entirely on the Goodwood Festival of Speed. Well, wait, Scott, it's not entirely on that, because as we find, we're going to learn more about other events on that enormous estate and a little bit of history.
Including the revival.
Which
is its own event, its own special event, and had held on its own special property or area of the property, the Goodwood property.
Yeah.
So there's a lot to this. And I mean, I can just quickly read from his note here if you'd like.
Yeah, I'd love to.
It says, now this is after a list of ideas. So he says, the second idea that I had for a podcast was the Goodwood Festival of Speed and Revival. These events are held in July and September and respectively at the grounds of Goodwood House and the Goodwood Racing Circuit in southern England. They're arguably the best motor racing events in Europe and regularly attract the biggest names in motorsport who take part in a hill climb at the festival speed and the driveway, which is held on the driveway of the Goodwood House, which we already mentioned.
Right.
And in full-on competitive races around the Goodwood circuit at the Revival. The festival is very inclusive and has included over the last 20 years it's run so far, almost every aspect of motorsport, both on two wheels and on four. In recent years, a rally stage, in addition to the hill climb, has been added to the event. And the event also includes a different amazing sculpture on the lawn in front of the mansion every year, as well as a motor show, a concours d'elegance type show, which we'll talk about. It's not called that, but it's something similar. And a soapbox race, which he thought we would better know as a Pinewood Derby, but in fact, that is what we call a soapbox race.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, Pinewood Derby is the little model cars. But
right.
So soapbox race, which we'll talk about that too. That's not being held anymore, by the way. But all kinds of things happen around this. It's like a four-day weekend.
Yeah. And you said it was 20 years ago. So Lord March, who is the current, the current patriarch of the Goodwood Estate, he founded the Goodwood Festival of Speed back in 1993. So it's just about to be 21 years, I think.
Yeah, this, I believe, will be the 21st year.
Yep, in June. And before this Festival of Speed existed, however, the Goodwood State already was a pretty significant property in British motor racing.
Exactly. And you know what? This goes back, the hill climb actually goes back to 1936, mm-hmm. which is really crazy because there's this long, long, long gap in the time when this thing was run. So it was originally run in 1936, didn't pick up again until 1993. And here's the reason. And this comes from the Goodwood website. So, you know, it's talking about the hill climb from 1936. And it says, in the summer of 1936, the Earl of March and the 9th Duke of Richmond, better known as the talented automotive designer, engineer, racing driver, and Brooklyn's winner, Freddie March, held a private hill climb for the Lancia Car Club at Goodwood House. Of course, you know, Freddie March, he won the event, naturally, and doing so inspired his grandson, the present Earl of March, who's the guy that we just talked about, to create a new and exciting racing event right at his family home. So he read about this or heard about this, right. and or maybe saw photographs or even, who knows, maybe film of this thing. It happened in 1936, I don't know. And decided, hey, why aren't we doing that right now? Because I'm a motor racing fan.
Yeah.
We've got this great property. We've got all this, these fantastic roads. We've got the Goodwood Circuit on our property.
Right.
Why are we not using that?
Which at the time, yeah, was an unused track, which to me is just crazy.
Yeah. And again, that's separate from the hill climb. We'll talk about the good,
right.
the revival.
Mm-hmm. So today, now there are thousands of people who attend this annual event. I think in 2003, they had 158,000 people.
Yeah. Yeah. That was the record attendance, 158. Yeah. And then they realized that may be just a little bit too many by about 8,000. So they backed it down and said, we're going to limit ticket sales to 150,000. And that was limited since about 2005. And the only way you can get tickets to this thing is you have to buy them ahead of time so they can, you know, they can monitor exactly how many are sold. They're not selling tickets at the door so that, you know, if 8,000 additional people show up like they did in 2003,
right.
They're going to be denied the tickets. Now, the initial event in 1993 attracted something like 25,000 spectators. So,
right. Even though it was conflicting, right, with 24-hour Le Mans.
That's right. Yeah, you mentioned that earlier. We said that it was the same weekend as the Le Mans race, which is a huge draw in that area, of course. I mean, it's a you know, the endurance race, of course.
Yeah.
And there's a whole party festival that goes along with that. So these are 25,000 people that chose to go to the Goodwood competition instead of the Le Mans race, which is remarkable, really. I mean, I don't know what the reasons were behind it, but but 25,000 people, that's pretty, I don't know, it's a difficult thing to go up against on their first weekend.
Right. Well, Lord March also assured everyone that in the future he would not let this event conflict with either Le Mans or what was the
Formula One series race, which is amazing because now this really gets the heart of this whole thing. Now, I feel like we're getting ahead of ourselves. So let me do two quick things. I want to tell you what a hill climb is before we do this, because a lot of people, our listeners, won't even know what a hill climb is.
Oh, that's a really good point. I forgot.
A hill climb, I mean, just to tell you what it is in the most basic terms, and we have versions of this here in the United States, and elsewhere. I mean, they're popular all over Europe. They're popular in North America, in Australia, New Zealand, South Africa even. But a hill climb is just a competition where drivers compete against the clock. They race for time up a hill. It's always an upward race course. So think about like Pikes Peak. That's a huge hill climb, but it's a hill climb event. And there's many other types of vehicles that race on these things outside of Formula One cars, of course, because we'll see a lot of Formula Ones at the Goodwood Festival.
Mm-hmm.
But there's motorcycles. There's any kind of you have rally cars that race on the on the rally circuit that they have now. So that's changed a little bit.
Even pickup trucks.
Yeah, pickup trucks. I mean, it's just about anything, really. Cars that are somehow distinguished in some way. I mean, you'll find like the Jaguar XJ220. You're going to find McLaren, you know, racing their new P1 up the hill. You're going to find Lamborghini's going to bring out cars. Lotus is going to bring out cars.
Right.
Of course, Mercedes with their AMG vehicles.
Sure,
they're going to
try
to.
Audi.
Yeah, and it's all for bragging rights. Who can climb the hill fastest? And some of it is just for the spectators, just to get the car out in front of the people and show them what it's all about. So, you know, we're talking about the latest and greatest technology in a lot of cases, but we're also talking about some of the most fantastic historic racing cars that have ever been, really, that show up as well. And they run, you know, one right after the other. So you get to see a little bit of everything. And the fans, they love this because it's not only the cars that they're there to see, but it's the people, because some incredible people show up to drive these as well.
Right. Yeah. We're talking about some of the top tier Formula One drivers in the world. We're also talking about some of the bigger names behind the scenes in racing, some of the star designers also for vehicles. Mm-hmm. It's sort of a, you get your cars, you get your celebrities too.
Yeah,
because people, one of the reasons that they have to make sure it doesn't conflict with Le Mans and with other F1 things is because there are, you know, there is this upper echelon of F1 and Le Mans and anti-car enthusiasts.
Way to bring it back around, Ben, because we were just talking about that, and I said, let's back up for a second.
Yeah.
But when we said that it doesn't conflict with F1, there's a very good reason for that, is because current F1 teams will bring current F1 cars onto that course and race them. It's amazing to be able to see that in, such a, an up-close, tight environment, because a lot of cases, well, actually, throughout the entire part of this this hill climb competition, they're in grandstands, mm-hmm. but they can also be behind what they call reinforced hay bales, which is really just a bunch of hay bales stacked up with some, it looks like logs driven into the ground behind them. And, you know, there's an F1 car running at speed right in front of you. That's pretty remarkable. You don't be able, you're not able to do that in many cases on many tracks. You're not able to get that close, of course, you know, it's mm-hmm. fan safety, but this is a little different. They're not going quite as fast as they would on an F1 track, of course. But still, you get, you know, the sound, the thrill, the excitement, the feel of being there.
And you might get to see a car in public for the first time, which I believe is what happened recently with the P1.
Exactly right. Yeah, the P1 showed up, which is something that we're going to talk about in a future podcast here
Spoiler
soon.
Alert.
Yeah, definitely. And we've got a lot of good information about that. But, you know, it's one way for manufacturers to get their product out there and show it to people in motion, which is completely different than seeing it, you know, online or in a showroom somewhere. And, you know, a lot of these, I printed out a list of drivers and cars and all kinds of stuff, Ben, but look at the print on this. It came out way too small.
Oh, wow.
So
yeah.
There's no way I'm going to be able to read this, but if I can recall some of them, I mean, Stirling Moss was there. Let's see. Jackie Stewart, I think, was one.
Yep.
Eddie Cheever was another one. I think Lewis Hamilton was there.
Mm-hmm.
Peter Fonda was there. He was driving the Easy Rider motorcycle. So celebrities show up as well, you know, like movie stars and people that people
right.
would recognize, you know, from movies and television and film. You know, that's who shows up to these things, you know, and of course the motorsport legends as well.
Now, let's go ahead and talk before we move on to some of the really cool things I want to add here. Let's go ahead and talk about some of the fastest times.
Oh, sure.
Which we didn't actually mention yet.
Yeah.
All right. So, weirdly enough, this is a strange thing. In 2013, we have kind of a tie with Gregory Gilvert and Nick Hedfield. And pardon my pronunciation, as we always say here, at 45.86. But that's not the fastest time.
45 seconds? That's actually pretty quick, because this is, it's over a mile. I mean, it's 1.16 miles and it's got nine turns and it's uphill. You got to remember that as well. It's, you're battling gravity the whole time. So that's a pretty good time.
Yeah. But in 1999, one of the same drivers, Nick Hedfield again, in a McLaren MP4, he got 41.60.
41 seconds. Hmm.
So how, to me, it's just interesting that it took longer in 2013. That's very counterintuitive for most races.
Longer in 2014, really?
2013.
Interesting. Yeah. So, well, I mean, I guess it goes with whatever vehicles they're in, of course. I mean, you know, we talked about Formula One cars and the differences over the years. And
that's true.
Remember, at points they were unrestricted, and, you know, they had these big V10s or the big V12s. You know, sometimes there were turbo engines, sometimes they weren't. So, you know, there's just a lot of variety there. So I guess it depends on, you know, however what you brought is running that day.
Uh-huh. Oh, and that brings me to another point, a little bit of a sidebar.
What's that?
Do you think we're ready to talk about the revival?
You know, I think we are. There's probably more that I'd like to kind of sprinkle in there about the Goodwood Festival, if you don't mind.
Yeah, absolutely.
How about this? Let's talk just a brief bit more about the Festival of Speed, and then we'll talk about the revival shortly after, okay? Because there's a couple of other things that we didn't mention, some features and attractions.
Now, that's right.
We talked about the Soapbox Challenge early on. They call it the Soapbox Challenge.
Right.
I think that was something that that John McGrady wanted us to talk about. And apparently that was run between 2000 and 2004 only, and that was a downhill race, so it ran in the opposite direction. You know, gravity-powered cars.
But there were accidents.
Lots of accidents, very frequent accidents. The cost of the cars became higher and higher. Safety rules became tighter and tighter, and it just wasn't quite as much fun as it was. It was so dangerous, in fact, that they decided that, you know, just getting kind of bogged down with all this stuff, it wasn't worth returning in 2005. So that ran for a short amount of time, but the Soapbox Challenge is now completely gone. They're not doing
it
anymore.
They kind of replaced it too. They didn't just empty that part of the schedule because now that's where they built the forest area for rally cars.
Oh, is that right? I didn't read that.
Okay. Same year, I think.
Oh, very good. Okay.
2005, rather.
Very good.
One of the other attractions that we should definitely talk about is something that you and I are going to have to see if we're in England when this happens. The Sunday Time Supercar Run.
Yeah, this sounds like a lot of fun. This is, of course, this is for road going supercars. So it's street legal cars on the track. It seems like a lot of specialty car manufacturers bring out their product. This is where they show off the latest and greatest stuff that we talk about, really.
Yeah, and this is also where they show off some their concept cars. Mm-hmm. But only if they're working. You can't roll a dummy car out here.
Well, you're going uphill.
Yeah.
can't do that, so you got to have something that actually works. But, yeah, a lot of people bring out their toys for this one. Manufacturers bring out their best toys for this. So this is something that's definitely worth watching if you're there. And then there's other things that they call their specials. And the specials include things like the Wacky Races cars, which are like I think those were the animated Hanna-Barbera cars that they raced, And then they bring out things like TV and film cars, like Herbie the Love Bug or the Batmobile or the Starsky and Hutch car. Maybe Mr. Bean's car will
Black
be out there.
Black Beauty or something.
Yeah, Black Beauty might run, or the General Lee. You know, just all kinds of vehicles, and there's a good chance that the stars that actually appeared in those movies will be driving that car as well, because I think that's kind of what was going on with the Henry Fonda thing.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So, all right, let's see. Then there's also air shows.
Ah, yes. Little known fact, if you're wondering how big the Goodwood Estate is, let's say that it's large enough that it contains an airport. It was that came in use during the World War II, I believe.
Well, I'll tell you how big it is. Yes, it is World War II. You're right.
Yeah.
This is how big the grounds are, Ben. The airport is within just the part of the Goodwood grounds that contains the circuit.
Right. So the circuit's around the airport.
The circuit's around the airport. And then, of course, the Goodwood property is just enormous. I mean, it surrounds everything else. So this is an enormous, enormous piece of property.
So, this airfield, they have, historic aircraft that are maintained and flyable in a lot of cases. So you can usually see the Royal Air Force Tornado and Red Arrows at the air show. And they've been adding some things over the past few years, every so often.
Some features. They'll have like a jumbo jet flyover or something.
Yeah, flyover kind of low,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, like a low flyover over the grounds, which is really cool. Like they had a Boeing 747, I think, in 2004 and 2005. And then recently they had an even bigger plane, right?
Yeah, they had an Airbus A380. So those, just so you know, it's not something that I personally would want to stand under while it flies low.
It might be kind of cool to be kind of close by, I guess, maybe.
Yeah, definitely.
But right in the flight path, I don't know. I'm not sure. And then they also have something they call the Cartier Style et Luxe, which is really the I guess the same thing or similar to like the Pebble Beach Concours d'Elegance or any of the Concours events.
Mm.
So it's something that, the participants are by invite only.
Right.
You don't have to have a ticket to go to it. I mean, if you're in the Goodwood Festival Speed, you can go to this concours type event.
Right. But if you want to show your car, you do have to be invited. You can't just, as cool as it sounds, you can't just roll up in your Duesenberg.
Oh, yeah, that's pretty. Well, I mean, you could, but you wouldn't be part of the show. You'd be part of the
you'd be in the parking lot.
The parking lot show, you know? And I'm sure there's one of those too. I mean, that seems like the type of place where
there
that would
has
happen.
To be, yeah.
Oh, of course, the people showing up to this, the 150,000 people. All right, so do you want to talk a little bit about let's talk a little bit about the revival, I think, to maybe wrap this up. How about that?
Okay, oh, one other thing.
Oh, sure.
One other thing before we wrap up with the revival. They added another event called the Moving Motor Show.
Oh, yeah, that's a
Remember
good point, Ben.
One?
Yeah, I do. And, I'm going to struggle to find my notes here, but
okay.
I can tell you basically what it is.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, basically, it's the replacement for an auto show that was canceled in one year, right?
And they said, the British International Motor Show.
Yeah, and they said, well, we'll hold this event at the Goodwood grounds anyways, so let's have all the manufacturers bring out their latest and greatest products and let people drive them and see how they liked it.
Yeah, yeah, which I think is brilliant marketing. But that's another thing that's all part of this experience. It's often advertised as the unofficial fourth day. So if you're going to the Goodwood Festival of Speed, if you've never been and you want to test drive some new cars, go to this before opening day. It happens before the actual open.
And sometimes, not all the time, but you may get a chance to drive actually on the hill climb course. There's an outside chance that you might be able to do that. If you're the right buyer with the right vehicle, I think they may let you try that.
Yeah. If luck is on your side.
Exactly. So that's kind of like a new car show thing. And you said the unofficial fourth day. That's probably a good way to put it because, you know, this thing does encompass, I think it's 4 days. And this year, I want to tell you before we go too much farther here,
yeah.
The 2014 Goodwood Festival Speed is scheduled for June 26th through the 29th of 2014. So it's coming up in late June this year. And ticket prices, if you're interested in actually going, there's a four day grandstand package, which is about, £248, which is, that's in US dollars, that's about $413.
Okay.
And then you can buy individual single day passes. And I think Friday is actually the least expensive day, at about £92 or $153. And then the Saturday and Sunday passes each are £118, which is, about $196. So, you know, the 4 day grandstand package is definitely the best deal for $413. You know, you get to go all 4 days, see all this stuff. And again, advanced sale, ticket sales only. You can't buy them at the door. So, you know, you can go to goodwood.co.uk to buy those tickets and you'll see the prices listed there and exactly what that'll get you and, you know, local hotels and all that stuff. Or, you know, if you plan to stay over, which I think you would.
But if you'd rather go to an old-fashioned revival, I'm kidding, not a Big Ten church revival, rather a revival of vintage racing cars and motorcycles, then you're going to want to go straight to the Goodwood Revival. This is a separate 3-day festival, but it's held on the same estate because that's just how large it is at that Goodwood circuit. He started that in 98, right, Scott?
No, 48.
48.
1948.
Well, it originally started in 1948, but Lord March brought it back in 1998.
Oh, very good. Okay, you're right.
That's right.
I didn't have the 98 date in front of me. I'm sorry, Ben.
So
there's a 50-year lag again in this whole thing.
Now,
you know what? I'm kind of mistaken here. I'm mixing things up. You said it started in that date. I'm thinking of the day that the track opened.
Okay, the original period, 1948 to 1966.
That's right. Okay.
It's me. I was saying it in a weird way.
That's okay. Our dates are all kind of mixed up here. Here, I'll tell you the rundown and you'll see if you can figure it out from this. All right. So the Goodwood circuit opened in 1948 and this was a world-class Formula One circuit. It was, I think it held, non-championship F1 races, really, for a while. It held, like, nine-hour endurance races in 1952, 53, mm-hmm. 55. Also, the Tourist Trophy sports car race was held there from 1958 to 1964. It's known probably best for something called the Glover Trophy,
mm-hmm.
Which is the trophy which was given out for the non-championship F1 race that was held there.
Yeah.
So 1948 is when this thing opened. It closed in 1966 because the owners didn't want to modify the track with the chicanes to slow the speeds of the modern F1 racers. Remember when they were going a little bit too fast? It was getting really dangerous in F1.
Right, yeah.
Jackie Stewart and those guys protested against all that and said, we need to find a way to slow them down. This is one thing you have to do is build in these chicanes on these long straights. And the owners of the Goodwood property or the Goodwood circuit at the time decided it wasn't worth it to them. They said, well, we'll just let it go at this point because we've had this thing around since 1948.
Yeah.
We'll let it go. I guess in a way it's kind of interesting that, you know, the Goodwood Hill Climb course at the Goodwood House actually predates the circuit that was on the property.
Yeah, that is interesting too. And, when we should also talk about safety briefly since we talked about the way it closed.
Sure.
Okay. And Scott, if it's cool, I'd like to take a second while we are touching on the topic of safety to mention some of the incidents that have occurred.
Okay.
So we know that there have been two different accidents at the event that were fatal. One was actually during the first Goodwood Festival in 1993.
Mm-hmm.
And that was a guy named Chaz Guy who was practicing for vintage racing motorcycles. And he completed the course, but he got a tank slapper and he was thrown.
A tank slapper. Okay. That's what they call a death wobble or a,
like a steering wobble.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. That's when it just starts to shake out of control. You can't stop it.
Right.
So
and
what they did, they threw him into a tree, I think is what they said, which is, it's a pretty horrific accident, really, when you think about it, for an inaugural event, too.
Yep.
That's bad news.
And, you know, of course, when something like this happens, the rules are reevaluated from the ground up. So now motorcycles are not timed on their runs.
That hardly seems fair. I mean, it seems like, to me, I mean, I'm not really out here to speak for motorcycles' rights or anything. I'm just saying, you know, I understand why they don't do it, because they're going to end up with like a TT situation, like the Isle of Man TT or something.
Right,
These guys go so fast now. The cars are just a little bit slower, not much slower, really, as a matter of fact, but, I don't know. It seems like they could still time the guys on the motorcycles. I don't know. Maybe I'm way off on this.
Well, it's kind of a better safe than sorry situation, you know?
Yeah, I agree.
I think maybe there is a way to make it to change the track such that it's safe to time the motorcyclist, but much work would you have to do?
Now you're going under bridges. You've got the hay bales that are in front of the crowd instead of, you know, any kind of real secure gates or anything like that. It seems like there could be a bad situation. So the more I talk about it, Ben, the more I'm talking myself out of it now. you know, so I kind of see both sides of this whole thing.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a bummer they can't time motorcycles because they're really fast and fun to watch.
Right.
But it's also for the rider safety and the fan safety. I get it.
So in 2000, a driver, John Dawson Dahmer, lost control. He was driving a Lotus 63. And crashed in the finish line gantry. There were two fatalities in that accident.
All right. So, yeah, himself and a track marshal. The guy's name was Andrew Carpenter. And then another track marshal. The guy's name was Steve Tarrant, I think. He survived, but he had injuries to a lower part of his right leg. So he's still around. I think that guy, they said that Steve Tarrant, I think, still officiates this. He still marshals for the Goodwood Festival.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
He knows that it's a pretty rare occurrence. Now, it's not super rare to see a car go sliding off the track in it by any means, because that's one thing we haven't really said, Ben, is that when these guys race these cars up the track, I mean, these are race car drivers in race cars.
Right.
And they're competing, you know, for time, but they're competing. They still want to win. These guys really push these cars. It's not like they're just babying them up the hill. It's not like they're out there for show, you know, just to drive by slowly or anything. It's not a parade.
Mm-hmm.
These guys are really pushing them. And you'll see, you know, a Ferrari that backs into the hay bales. You'll see a, you know, an F1 car that slides into the bridge. You'll see all kinds of stuff out there.
There's one other death on the Goodwood estate that most people might not have heard about if you're not familiar with Goodwood.
What's that one?
Bruce McLaren, died in a testing accident on June 2nd, 1970 on the Goodwood circuit.
Yeah, the circuit. So this is on the track, not the hill climb.
Not the hill climb.
But on the circuit where they hold the revival each year. So that's kind of a good lead into our revival talk, I guess, if you want to do that. But, that's too bad. I mean, a lot of people won't remember that, that's where that happened. It didn't happen in competition. It was just in testing, early in 1970 and mid 1970, I guess, in June.
Right. Yeah.
So yeah, that's too bad. We're going to talk about McLaren. As we said, we're coming up with a podcast where, I mean, we got Bruce McLaren on our brains at this point.
Yeah,
really.
It's McLaren Day.
Yeah.
I have one other thing that might be kind of a surprise for you, if you want to hear it.
Yeah, sure. What's that?
Too much more, but this is something that I saved. There's a thing called the Breakfast Club.
Breakfast Club, the movie.
Yeah. Good guess. Let's tweak it there. I am instead talking about Goodwood's ongoing free to enter, open to all meetings at the motor circuit. So here's what you do. You got awesome cars and bikes. You bring your bike, you bring your car. It's often called the Petrolhead's Perfect Sunday. So you meet up. They have multiple meetings. I'm not sure exactly why they call it a breakfast club.
The Perfect Sunday. I like that. I like the name of that. I like the ring of that, Ben.
Mm-hmm. And you can see all these new bikes that have kind of a theme. In 2014, you can check out the Goodwood site and you see that on May 4th, they're having a Supercar Sunday. So it's a free supercar show, which I think is super cool of the venue to do that. And, you know, on June 1st, they've got a Soft Top Sunday. So classic and modern soft tops, T-tops, etc. And then they've got a Thoroughbred Sunday on August 3rd. So this is the golden era of Goodwood Motor Circuit, pre-1966 cars and bikes.
Very cool.
Yeah, so I thought you would like that one especially.
Yeah.
So then they've got the hot hatch and V-Power, so, you know, V-twin motorcycles, the V-16 Cadillacs.
So I hope everybody's getting the idea that this is a huge, huge thing that happens here. Now, it's not all on one weekend. I mean, we've talked about some of the other things as well.
Right.
But the Goodwood Festival, you know, most of what we talked about today is all on weekend, on one weekend. And this huge event that covers acres and acres of property, it's really big. Now, just a couple of other quick things that are happening during the Festival of Speed that, you know, we haven't even mentioned yet.
Yep.
There's something called Goodwood Action Sports, or GAS is what they call it.
Oh, yeah.
And that's BMX and freestyle motocross racers who are, you know, doing like the gravity, gravity-defying jumps, you know, where they're up in the air freestyle, you know, off the bike, that type of thing, landed.
Right, yeah.
You know, amazing stuff, you know, stuff that you can hardly believe your eyes when you see it happening. Of course, we mentioned the aviation exhibition that happens as well. Now, there's the air show that goes along, you know, with the actual flyovers and stuff, but this allows people to see the latest models and technology and maybe even take a plane up for a demo flight if you're a licensed pilot, of course.
Right, yeah.
But you can maybe demo some of the latest stuff, you know, for if you're a prospective buyer, they'd love to show you their latest plane. So that's one opportunity. There's also, we mentioned the Moving Motor Show. There's a dedicated radio station that's on the grounds, called Radio Goodwood. And if you tune into that, you can hear anything that's happening. You can keep up with the hill climb competition.
Right.
You know, while you're over watching the Goodwood Action Sports, or while you're, you know, checking out the concours event. You know, it's a great opportunity. You can hear live what's happening on the track. You'll hear the cars, of course, you know, echoing through the grounds, I'm sure.
Yeah.
You know, 'cause that's a race car crackling through the tree line course or whatever, but you're going to be able to hear, you know, what the times were. You're going to be able to hear the announcers telling you what's going on as well.
Yeah. And that's amazing when you think of how, I don't know, it's just brilliant, Scott, to have all of this stuff become, it's like a one-stop shop for so many cool things.
I know. There's even rally cars. You know, we mentioned the rally thing and we've barely talked
about it, but
the rally stage, it's a mile and a half. And you said it was purposely built for this. And it gathers, I think attracts, I guess, about 50 different cars each year. You know, some of these are historic rally cars. Some of them are current WRC cars and teams. So, you know, it's another thing where, you know, they said, why don't we just bring the latest and greatest technology here and showcase it all in one property in one weekend, and people are going to be able to get close and really get thrilled about it.
Perfect segue, because there's one other thing that I have to add. I promise this is the last other thing.
This weekend doesn't end, does it?
This weekend doesn't end, Scott. Speaking of bringing the latest and greatest technology, riddle me this. How big is Goodwood Estate? Well, they are big enough to have a couple of other things. Goodwood Race Course, which is a horse racing track.
Interesting.
And it's nearby the Goodwood House. It's home to the glorious Goodwood Meeting, which is one of the UK's flat race venues. And it is also home to, this is going to weird some people out, you might not know this, even if you know about Goodwood, it's also home to a Rolls-Royce factory.
You mentioned that just right before we went on air, and I had not heard this. I hadn't read this anywhere, Ben. It has its own Rolls-Royce factory.
Not just that, Scott. The headquarters, design, manufacturing, and assembly center for Rolls-Royce motor cars.
No kidding. I, you know what? We did a Rolls-Royce podcast.
Yeah.
I don't recall mentioning that it was on the property of the Goodwood House. I just don't remember that.
I think we ended up saying it was in West Sussex or something like that, but I don't remember exactly how we phrased it. We didn't mention Goodwood, though. We didn't mention the festival.
So the Rolls-Royce HQ is located on the Goodwood House grounds.
Yep. As of 2003, it's been expanded since then. And at least by 2010, they were putting out 15 cars a day.
Pretty amazing.
So I want to end on that, because that was one of the most interesting things I found out, and I want to know the story behind that too.
Yeah, well, John McGrady, I hope we've talked enough about Goodwood for you, because, and I know there's more. There's even more
there's
to this
so
whole weekend that we're just not getting to. There's so many little details about each event that we'd like to go into. We just don't have the time. I mean, we try to get in as much as we can, but this event is so large, so all encompassing. It's got so much going on for it. And it seems like a really, really cool thing for anybody who's really into motorsports and racing that have been, you know, maybe even have been in the past that aren't anymore, because you're going to get to see some historic vehicles. You're going to get to see modern vehicles, historic drivers, modern drivers, just some amazing, amazing stuff.
And I can't think of any better way to end this episode than some listener mail.
Let's do it.
Okay, Scott, you might remember our regular listener, Justin, from Indiana.
I do remember that.
So Justin is writing into us on our limo podcast. We've got a fair share of limousine feedback there. Pretty much all positive, too, which was nice.
Yeah.
Here's what Justin had to say. Hello, Scott and Ben. I just finished listening to your podcast on limousines, and I thought I'd share a couple of pictures. The first picture is an early Dodge Viper limousine. I haven't personally seen this. The second limousine I have seen in person in Indianapolis. Now, this made me laugh, and I know I see you chuckling a little bit, too. Scott, can you describe that second limousine?
It has a chicken head in the middle of the limousine. A huge chicken head, like a 5 or 6 foot tall chicken head and a tail. Yeah. Which is ridiculous. They call it the chicken limo, and it drives around the Indianapolis area. It must be promoting a chicken restaurant or business of some kind, I would think. I don't think it's just that as a novelty item.
Do you think maybe Truett Cathy lives in Indiana?
I don't know, Ben. I don't know what's going on there. It's so bizarre. But if you search chicken limo Indianapolis, you're going to find a picture of this limo online. It's ridiculous. He's right. Justin, that's a good catch.
Yeah,
And the Viper limo.
Yes,
That's another absolutely ridiculous limousine, but it still looks pretty cool.
Yeah, I feel kind of the same way about the Viper limo as I do about that Ferrari limo.
Yeah, a little bit. I mean? Yeah, it's silly in a way, but I mean, this is an open top one, right? I think it's a convertible. Maybe even just a bit more silly than the Ferrari limo.
Yeah, I'll tell you what though. Justin says he would personally love to ride in the Viper, and he said maybe not the chicken limo, but then again, maybe I would ride in it just so that I could say that I did.
Hey, why not? That's a good reason to do it.
And we are out. We hope that you have enjoyed our episode on the Goodwood Festival of Speed and the Goodwood Estate. There's a lot of stuff that we haven't quite gotten to, but the fact of the matter is, Scott, there's so much stuff going on there.
Yeah, we could spend 4 days talking about what happens there in 4 days.
We should just go and do our show live on the Goodwood radio station.
Wouldn't that be nice? Oh, that would be nice, Ben.
Yeah,
that would be really cool. We'd have a built-in audience of 150,000 immediately.
Yeah, we'd be living the high life,
yeah,
right?
That'd be cool.
Okay, well, while Scott and I go off to work on our clearly foolproof plan to infiltrate Goodwood, we hope to hear from you. Drop by our website, carstuffshow.com, to check out our blog, our podcast, and a couple other surprises. You can also visit us on Facebook and Twitter, where we are CarStuffHSW. And if you say, hey, wait, these guys are reading listener mail online, I want to hear my letter on the air.
I want to be a part of that. How do I do that?
Yeah, well, all you have to do is send an email. We are
carstuff@discovery.com.
For more on this and thousands of other topics, visit howstuffworks.com. Let us know what you think. Send an email to podcast@howstuffworks.com.